Mary, Virgin Mary, mother of who? The man-child, Jesus. Zion is being referred to as a her. There are cities being born out of Zion. In a pre-Adamic age, one of the ways that I served was as a general in God's army. In the pre-Adamic age, I went through challenging scenario. Gives birth to another man-child in a fourth cycle. What is that final man-child cycle?
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
All right, we're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my new book, Awakened. Now, I have been convicted by God that this is absolutely my responsibility to keep trumpeting and sounding off on. It is a subject that is, I believe, really close to the Father's heart for this season in church history, because God's trying to bring something online. And in order to do that, our world view, so to speak, has to expand, because there's more going on to the picture than meets the eye. And there's a lot of ways to go about talking about the pre-Adamic ages and talking about the ancient history of the human spirit. And one of those subjects that is explored in this book, Awakened, is the subject of cycles of time or ages. And there are multiple ways to demonstrate with the Bible that cycles of time or ages are absolutely the way things work. So today we're going to explore one of those in this nugget for a little bit. And that cycle comes right out of Revelation 12. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Now, I'm going to stop there. And what I want to explain is that this passage in Revelation chapter 12 is one of the more enigmatic passages in the whole Bible. Revelation 12 just frustrated me to no end for many years. And I looked at it from many different perspectives. And if you go through the whole passage, you'll see that there is a case for anchoring this passage to ancient wars that happened in heaven, you know, because later on we find out that Satan is being thrown out of heaven by Michael and his archangels. There's reason to anchor this entire passage to the first coming of Jesus Christ. There's reasons to try to anchor this passage to future prophetic events. And what I realize is that Revelation 12 is much more than an exploit in arguing your view with your fellow Christian. Because, you know, you could argue Revelation 12 from these different perspectives all day long. What I realized is that Revelation 12 reveals a concept called cycles. And it's layering of cycles that produces ages through which events occur and reoccur under different contexts. Let me explain. Picking out one element from Revelation 12, we find the virgin giving birth to the man-child. And I am going to walk you through 4 cycles, and then we're going to conclude. What do I mean? Cycle number 1. The first virgin mentioned in the Bible is actually not a woman. It is a city. And the first mother is not Eve. It is Jerusalem above. And so when we look at the passage in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, and you can quote me on this, it says that Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, what does the Bible mean? What does Paul mean when he says the Jerusalem above? And I'm going to let you know a little secret. Cities on the earth are simply shadows and copies of heavenly things. The cities pre-existed mankind and our tenure on the earth. And God has always had a city. And that city is Jerusalem. And it is on Mount Zion, which is God's mountain. And this is a spiritual city. And it is a spiritual mountain. And it's really interesting because there's another passage about Zion in the Old Testament, specifically the book of Psalm 87, that is so confusing. It's left many people, just completely perplexed because, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon. And in this passage, Rahab is actually a reference to Egypt. But it says, I will make mention of these places to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion, it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. Can you believe Zion is being referred to as a her? And there are cities being born out of Zion. And it says, and the Most High, and not even cities, nations. And it says, the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples. This one was born there, Selah. What's happening in Psalm 87? Well, because, the interesting thing is, when you look at like Egypt and Babylon and Philistia, these were actually enemies of Israel. These were groups that warred against God's agenda through his people in the physical Israel area and their city of Jerusalem at different stages through history. So what's really happening here? And the answer is, in Galatians chapter 4, we get the key. God created spirits, and those spirits had a mother, and that mother was Zion, was Jerusalem above, establishing the first cycle on the mother and a man-child. Zion and Jerusalem are used interchangeably relative to both physical geography and spiritual geographies. And every spirit that God ever created was registered in Zion. This is why Jerusalem above is truly the mother of us all. In other words, God foreknew every human that has come into the earth because we were registered in a place of creation in his domain that pre-existed us and pre-existed this age of mankind. Wow. Then we move to the second cycle. Now, in the second cycle of the mother and a man-child, it happens early in the Bible, where we get our first basically type and shadow of this concept in people. Now, when you read the Bible, it's interesting because Eve is never mentioned as a virgin. Like, we know she probably is a virgin because she's pulled out of Adam's rib. It's like, well, she's, hasn't had any other husbands. But the Bible doesn't actually take the time to call her a virgin. But it does ascribe that term to another woman. The first mention of virgin in the Bible is actually Rebecca. And the interesting thing is that if you know your history, Rebecca is Isaac's wife, the mother of Jacob. And Jacob has his name changed to Israel. So Jacob is a type of man-child. And what the Bible says is, in Genesis 32, 28, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So you have a second cycle on this mother and man-child situation where the mother is Rebecca and the man-child is Israel. So while you have Jerusalem above in the first cycle giving birth to the sons of God, you have Rebecca giving birth to Israel, which has 12 sons. Who has 12 sons that become the sons of God in the Old Testament? Isn't that fascinating? And then you have a third cycle, right? And in the third cycle, there's another virgin mentioned in the Bible. And that mother is Mary. Mary, Virgin Mary, mother of who? The man-child, Jesus. So we have first cycle, which is in the spirit world and in a pre-Adamic context when God's creating all these spirits who are sons of God. Then you have Rebecca, who has a child named Jacob, changed his name to Israel, who has 12 sons, 12 tribes that are called the sons of God. And then you have Mary in a third cycle who gives birth to Jesus, who is the Son of God, who then makes a way for many sons to be reconciled to their Father in heaven through his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's so interesting because Jesus steps into the role of Israel to make a new covenant with God. This is why Jeremiah 31:31 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." How does God do that? He does it by sending Jesus as representative and fulfillment of both houses. Jesus is both the house of Israel and the house of Judah in one flesh at the same time, so that as representative of both houses, he can, through one sacrifice, reconcile all men, Jew and Gentile, back to God. And this is actually established very clearly in Scripture through prophecy, because in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt." And a lot of people would look at Hosea 11:1 and say, "Oh, that must be a reference back to the book of Exodus when God delivered his children out of Egypt." No, actually, Matthew 2:15 interprets that prophecy for us and says, "And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son." In other words, Matthew interprets Hosea's prophecy as referring to Jesus. And how does Hosea refer to Jesus? As Israel, which means that Jesus is the man-child Israel, just like Jacob was the man-child Israel, thus establishing a third cycle on this mother and man-child company. The sons of God are being born out of a woman. And then you have the fourth cycle, which is the climax of the agenda of God. And this is the interesting part about it. When you look at Revelation 12, which we started on, and you look at the virgin, she is said to have a crown of 12 stars. Did you know that in the constellations, the Maseroth of the sky, you have Virgo, the virgin, that is a body of stars in the sky, and she has a crown on her head. That crown of 12 stars is the constellation Leo. What does that mean? When we understand that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, on this fourth cycle, Jesus becomes the crowning glory on the virgin. Who is the virgin? Well, it's the church. It's the wife of the Lamb. Jesus becomes a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty for his people and on his people. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 28, verse 5, "In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people." So there's a remnant in the last days which Jesus crowns in glory. And this crowning glory upon this remnant people gives birth to another man-child in a fourth cycle. Well, what is that final man-child cycle? And the answer is, it's the company of people that carry out the last works at the end of the age. The church that expresses a revelation of the glory and power of God that is shocking. It actually changes the world, nations, timelines. These are the cycle breakers that are coming in to break thousands of years of generational iniquity in their bloodlines. You know, people that are going to carry the glory that it's going to literally recharacterize the way people understand reality, because the move of God will be so extraordinary in the last days. And this is the very generation, the very man-child on this fourth cycle that God is calling to arise now. In fact, if you're listening to me, it's probably because you're supposed to be part of it. One of the interesting things about Israel in the Bible is that it breaks down to two words, Yisra and El. Yisra means prevails, and El is God. And so one of the ways we understand Israel is that God prevails. And so it's really cool because when we look through the cycles on the mother and the man-child, what we see is that Israel keeps being involved, keeps being born. And this is spiritual, this is literal, and you know, but it's like, oh wow, God prevails over and over and over again in every cycle of manifestation. In the last days, it's my conviction that there will be a company of believers that arise and demonstrate the maturity and heavenly authority that literally changes the world. And what else does the Bible say? But in Isaiah 61, when we read that we will raise up former desolations, repair ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I mean, in Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. This is a word of encouragement. I believe that we're in a season of history where God is awakening the body that is going to carry out the final assignments. And that's part of the reason why I wrote this book, Awaken, to wake you up, friend. So now that we've got through these four cycles, the question is, why does this matter? And again, we're back to this book, Awakened, because when we start unpacking some of these deeper concepts, it's like, okay, so yeah, cycles. There are cycles through the ages. Fantastic. Why does that matter to me? The answer is because some of the events that happen in previous ages can affect what happens in this age experientially. And I'm just going to be honest, right? So this is part of my journey. In a pre-Adamic age, and I've said this in other places and on this podcast, but you know, one of the ways that I served was as a general in God's armies. And in the pre-Adamic age, I went through a lot of challenging scenarios. And I started getting some of these memories back a few years ago. And over time, I've been able to put together more of the puzzle. It's like, oh, okay. And each time I get a new layer, it's emotion that comes along with it, feelings, you know, because the spirit, the human spirit has a mind, will, and emotions just like the human soul and even the human body. And with that said, when we talk about the cycle, the first cycle, where you have a bunch of spirit beings as sons of God being born to the heavenly Jerusalem, according to Galatians chapter 4. Like, so we're born as spirit beings, and then there are events that transpire, and those events lead to all kinds of stuff that goes sideways, a pre-Adamic fall of Lucifer, and him being thrown out of heaven, so that by the time we get to Genesis 1-2, boom, earth is formless and void. Well, when we look at some of the events that happened, like as I was serving in those ages, like prior to the age of Adam and mankind, I was involved in a lot of battles. And what happened early in my experience with those battles was there was a lot of disorder. There was actually a lot of betrayal. There were a lot of people that were supposed to be or you could just call them heavenly beings, that were supposed to be part of the campaigns that my spirit was involved with, that defected or that switched sides or that executed betrayal things. And it was like, you know, for a while, it was very painful. But in that age, the unique thing about, I guess you could call it my unit or whatever, is that we kept prevailing. And that's not the case of every human spirit that I've talked to, because a lot of human spirits had similar experiences with betrayal and with folks flipping sides in their units or whatever, as they were involved in some of the heavenly battles that preceded Satan or Lucifer being thrown out of heaven. And they experienced loss. Some of them were taken hostage or captive. No, that didn't happen to me. But as I've recalled some of the memories that I've had, What did happen was the betrayal cycles to the point that we had to really button up the way that that military campaign was being executed. We had to have better processes for onboarding new people to the unit, so to speak. And we had to work our way out of that season in order to get to another place. And things still ended up going sideways for other reasons as we go on. Well, what happened in my life in this world? Would you imagine as soon as I started this ministry, it was one betrayal after another, after another, after another. To the point that I was only a few years into ministry and we went through a massive attack. Some of the people that I cared about the most, they came against the ministry. They came against me. They wrote blogs. They accused me of all kinds of untrue things and mixed with half-truths and whatever they could do. And that created massive disruption. People fell off. My entire inner circle imploded. I mean, it was a mess. And then after that, over and over and over and over again, it's taken us a long time to get to a place of stability on this side. And what I realized is, as I got the memories back of pre-Adamic events, and I began to map what I actually walked through in this world, I realized that it was the same cycle. It was almost like on this side of reality, I'm reliving, but in a different way, some of the same experiences my human spirit walked through in pre-Adamic ages. And what we began to realize is, wait, it's not just me, because as I have ministered to people's human spirits all over the world, over and over and over again, what we're finding is whatever happened to them, whether it was that they were taken hostage or betrayed or lied to or plundered of whatever they had or had their essence vampirically usurped in pre-Adamic ages, they come into this world and it's happening to their souls and bodies. And it's like there's a cycling on the trauma. And what we realize is, oh, wow, when we understand cycles and we break the cycle of trauma in this age, that correction can then, through the blood of Jesus, be a redemptive force in the events that transpired in pre-Adamic ages. In other words, there are things that can be healed through the ages, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, by identifying cycles of trauma and then correcting them with the power of Jesus Christ. And where can you learn to do this? Like, how could we ever think this sounds really complicated, Dan Duvall? Do you have a prayer for that? How can I fix the broken cycles in this age that are borrowing on traumas my spirit experienced in pre-Adamic ages? I don't even have human spirit memories with which to do that. Answer. That's why I wrote this book, Awakened, because it has all the prayer resources that you need, whether you have the memories or not, and it will give you the path to begin to work with your own human spirit to unlock those memories. So friends, God is moving in this hour to raise up the mightiest company of people hell has ever had to face down in one generation. And the good news is you get to be part of it. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.